Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me, as usual, we got Dale Mims, we got Craig, the California Cajun, right? Did I leave out a little dice? See, now I feel like I didn't give you a proper introduction there, Dale. And the right, Saints, and maybe the single most disappointing, frustrating loss that I could recall since probably the 49ers playoff game back in whenever that was.
Ooh, that was pain.
I tried to convince myself that I'd given up, and generally I had. You know, like, I watched the 49ers game casually. I told y'all last week it was just kind of like, hey, you know. But I think it's because I didn't expect to win that game. And then this game, I could just tell early in the game I was already frustrated with the 49ers the Bucs moving the ball. And it just got more and more irritating. And then as we started seemingly to take control of the game, then when things went sideways, I mean, I was, how's it go, Craig? I was in a phone booth of emotions, or?
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Craig, I know that you missed the show last week. I think you were having, never mind. I was going to give you a hard time, but. How you feeling, man? Tell us how you feeling about life in general.
Well, it's the Christmas season, everybody. We're getting ready for the holidays. Everyone's getting their Christmas trees and wrapping up their Christmas shopping. That's the only thing I'm open and happy and willing to talk about today. So let's all plan our Christmas meals and make sure we do our shopping for our loved ones.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. Dale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about what you have up on the Twitters and the internets and all the other cool stuff that you have that goes on.
Yeah, the Grinch stole Christmas from us yesterday, Monday Night Football, front of the world to see. Tampa Bay 17, New Orleans 16, heartbreaking loss, gave us hope. Have y'all watched SEC shorts on YouTube before?
Yes.
There's a character on this show called Hope. And, you know, she will have the little beauty pageant little thing on, and she's looking all beautiful, and she's with the team. And then at the last minute, she bails. That's what I felt like yesterday. We had Hope. And she just bailed in that fourth quarter. I mean, it was hurtful. It was hurtful.
We were losing the whole way through. That wouldn't have hurt so bad.
Yeah.
If we were down 17-0 early,
yes,
and ended up 17-16.
Yeah.
The 49ers game.
If we just lost wire to wire, if we were overmatched, if we played a better team than us, I can live with all that. I can't live with what that was. Mm. That wasn't right. I reached down into my soul and that hurt me. I'm not good.
You got non-Saints fans texting, saying, hey, you better check on Dale. Oh my God. Can't believe this just happened. You know, like, not on Monday Night Football, man. Don't do this on Monday Night Football. It's so embarrassing.
Whole country watching our embarrassment.
It was embarrassing. And that's the key phrase. At the very end of the game, emotion that I felt predominantly was embarrassment. And
yes.
I generally don't like, you know, people, oh man, this and fire everybody. I usually don't get that irritated anymore about it. And at the end of the game, I was embarrassed. I was like, you guys know that I have said my plan. I feel like the Saints need to keep Dennis Allen, not because he's good, but because you're not going to be able to get a good coach. We're not in a good situation. We're going to have to keep him for another season, and then we'd be in position to get a better coach. All the different things would be falling into place. I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like that the end of that game, now don't get me wrong, there are players, and we'll talk about that, but I feel like that entire end of the fourth quarter was completely mismanaged coaching-wise. And it really – and I'm not one of those people who it's result-oriented. If you called a play and it didn't work, if you ran it, you should have passed it. Well, if you passed it, you should have ran it. I don't get into all that nonsense. But what happened, I can talk about clear and concise things that were just poor decisions throughout from 8 minutes on through the rest of the game that just he does not need to be – this coaching staff needs to go away. Or at least I'm going to blame it all on Dennis Allen because at the end of the day, he's supposed to be managing the game. These same positional coaches that were with the team last year didn't have these problems managing the end of the game. And Dennis Allen is just incapable of managing the game. It was never more prevalent and obvious to me than last night.
But y'all want to know how bad this was? I had Falcons fans calling me.
Right. Right. We Falconed the lead away. We did. We absolutely did. Oh, my God.
I don't want to tell Falcons to go play with themselves because at the end of the day, like, we're not a Super Bowl team who lost a huge lead in the Super Bowl. We're a bad team that lost a lead to another bad team in a regular season game. We're not the Falcons. Come on. I'm not even going there. Stupid Falcons fans. Get out of here. Who am I now, Craig? That was a Craig rant that I just had.
It was. That was very Craig of you. All right, the penalties and the turnovers. New Orleans committed 6 penalties, 84 yards, by Tampa, 4 for 39. And we got one first down.
We had more penalties than Tampa?
Yeah.
What?
We got one first down.
That we would have more penalties called against us than Tom Brady's team would against him. That's bizarre. Are you sure? Did you do the math wrong?
I think you're confused. Right.
I don't think there's any way that a team playing Tom Brady was penalized more than Tom Brady's team and or missed calls the other direction. I think you're wrong. I think you got that backwards.
Okay. Tampa got 2 first downs via penalty, but the big stat is 0 turnovers for the Saints, who did not commit any turnovers at all. Beautiful. This is one of the first steps to winning.
If you describe anything about this game as beautiful again, I'm going to reach through the freaking microphone and strangle you.
This is good. I always look for these Craig buttons to push because hey, it entertains me. I hope it entertains you guys. So appreciate that, Craig. Okay, but penalties. Let's talk penalties because we had some penalties go against us at bad times. And the number one thing I'm thinking about, 12 men in the huddle, and I want to say it was coming out of a timeout, right?
See, here's the thing. This whole thing and the going down the path of, oh, we had, God, how do we have more penalties? At the end of the day, man, you can't blame the referees for false starts, for 12 men in the huddle, or, you know, and to me, and this makes me feel a little worse, is the fact that that you had at least 2 penalties called against the 49ers in what I would consider crucial situations late in the game. So forget about all this stuff that happens early. Like, I can have 1 penalty, you have 10, but at the end of the game, you call some bullcrap holding penalty or something. And that hurts me in the most crucial part of the game. Having said that, they called a holding against the Bucks with probably under 10 seconds left in the game, which I was literally amazed. I'm like, oh my God, on a touchdown pass. So, you know, we got the benefit of some of the crucial calls at the right time. And I don't really have nothing bad to say about the officiating today.
Look, so officiating in the play, holding, pass interference, whatever, that my tinfoil hat is on for that. I still think we get shafted.
Sure, sure. Fair enough.
But pre-snap penalties, that's coaching. Cut, dried, clean print. There is no other excuse. That is the only aspect of the game that you can directly lay on the coaching. It is guys not knowing where they're supposed to be, not being in the right, or guys in the huddle.
Let me pile on to that. Is you had Trevor Penning, who was late in the game, you know, on the field, and Andy Dalton had to wave him off. And, you know, again, the guy hasn't, he's been recovering and all this stuff. And I'm not necessarily trying to blame him, although it does kind of like the fact that you're that disorganized that you don't know, you're not even talking about wide receivers or running backs swapping in and out. You're talking about your tackle eligible who doesn't, you know, the coordination. And again, I agree with Craig. It's all coaching. It's just complete disorganization.
Yeah, I remember Penning lining up incorrectly, like on a touchdown pass, and they had to redirect him. Go over there. So, yeah, man. They're not focused on what their job is, what the call is, or whatever it may be. There's a lot of fishing out there, figuring out what they need to be doing.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmont of the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Laundromat Department. Now back to more BS and Beer Podcast. Remember our motto in Boudreaux Parish: we will find you and we will tase you.
Special teams. We saw Will Love hit all his kicks, which is positive. Blake Gillikin punted an average of 43 yards a punt. He got three inside the 20.
Shanked one when it mattered.
He did.
Shanked one when it mattered.
He did.
Okay.
Again, I didn't know that punters could fold under the pressure, but that's the second time in critical situations he's just put one off the side of his foot.
True. I remember one earlier in the year for sure.
Vikings,
I think. When it was pretty bad, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was the same situation where it's right down at the end where we need them to drive the whole field, make them work for it, and just gives them a short field. Now. Fire him. Yep. Kill him. Go get Thomas Morstead. Miss that son of a bitch.
We have Rashid
Morstead
Shaheed.
Wouldn't do that to us.
Yeah. We have Rashid Shaheed actually get a nice punt return, 42 yards long. That was pretty good to see on special teams.
Yeah, if you guys want to talk about some bright spots, I really like the Shaheed kid. Everything he keeps doing looks good. He runs good routes. He's big enough to be an actual receiver, but he's got the speed. Mm-hmm. And he's still really raw. So there might be something to work with there down the line. I like this kid.
Craig stole my thunder because I was during the game before that ball hit Olave in the head and we didn't get the opportunity to kick a field goal on that drive. I was thinking to myself, man, you know, boy, if we do find a quarterback at some point, you can find yourself a nice possession receiver in the second, third round. You can have two speed guys that can play, and you just need some chain movers, mm-hmm. which are easier to find than guys who are super talented receiver types. We look good. Receiver is going to be held down for the next few years at a very reasonable price. So if you're looking for some positives, that's absolutely one of them.
Yep. I would agree with that. Loving Shaheed so far, and hey, I've been hearing about him all season. So, you know, like I said, the guy better be a player. I mean, he's proven to be, you know, a player.
Yep.
Definitely better than Quan Baker, that failed draft pick that we made. So,
get off my Quan Baker love.
Shut up, Dale.
The offense. Let's go to the offense. The time of possession was nearly identical between the two teams. And again, the Saints did not turn the ball over. They had
Saints
the ball.
Saints offense did everything except for have nuts. They didn't have any goddamn balls. They got down by the red zone and sucked them right up in there. They don't have any. There's no sense of urgency. There's no, you know, when a good team, like a Sean Payton coach team, like when you have a team down like that and you have this opportunity to put a foot on their throat. You can put dig your heel in, and you know this is how I end it. I put the kill shot in right here. Mm. There's none of that right now. Yeah. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of, hey, we're going to get fired tomorrow if this doesn't work. And they should be, because this is absolutely embarrassing. We dominated that game, and for what? To have what, we scored one touchdown, field goals, and the one touchdown was a terrible and underthrown ball that we're lucky Taysom wasn't being covered for. The offense, you can look at the stats all you want. Dalton's numbers were fine. He hit guys in the face who didn't catch the ball, and the line played okay, and the sacks that he took were at bad times. The play calling was abysmal, and there's no goddamn nuts.
Well, let's talk about, like you mentioned, the sack. I don't know how many times he got sacked. I don't think it was much. I think early in the game. Huh?
Two sacks.
Two sacks. But they were both in big moments.
One on the first drive. And then that one sack. If you look at the situation and people are like, oh, he took that sack. You went big and tried to trick him. And it was a poorly designed and conceived idea to begin with. No one got open. Dalton couldn't throw the ball away. Like if he throws the ball away, he stops the clock, and we're talking about that. So he had to eat it and take the sack. The problem is there was no outlet, no one. Just the whole idea was based on the premise that you're going to get this ball out, and I don't know what they were thinking. And I swear, go back and listen. Anybody who's listened to my show I generally don't criticize play calling, but this was just ridiculously bad. And for a guy like me who's not looking for something to criticize and to just realize that at the bare minimum, they should have had someone lock it and leak out in the event that those guys aren't open. We could dump it to you and, get a 1 yard gain or instead of the quarterback having to eat the ball for a 12 yard loss. Are you following what I'm saying?
It was a one man route. They had one guy run deep, and that one guy was a receiver that was called up from the practice squad.
Well, there was another guy. So they ran a flag route from that position. And then there was a second guy. They were both well covered. And
that guy doesn't count. I didn't see him, so he doesn't count.
Well, fair enough. But at the end of the day, like even if you tell the tight end block, and then you eventually have to release because we have to have a safety valve so that when those guys, because I'm also certain that the coach was like, if it's not open, don't throw it. Don't force it.
Right.
So what do you do? And you realize in that situation, I was like, throw the ball. And it hit me. It would have been stupid to throw the ball away. And I know a lot of fans are hanging on to my first thought was throw it away. And you're like, no, you don't want to stop the clock. Take the sack. But it's just, one thing after another, just poor. Is it time to get into that Mark Ingram disaster?
Oh, we ain't ready for that. I guess
save that for itself. Can you run a slant on 3rd and 1? And yeah. I'm not saying that run the ball, you get the first down, but at least you keep the clock going or have a little bit more creativity in how you try to. That just the whole thing was awful.
So I heard Dennis Allen mention that. He said this is coming.
Shut up, Dennis Allen. I don't care what you have to say, Dennis Allen. Shut up. Shut up, Dennis Allen. No, I don't care what he says, Dale. I only listen to Saints coaches, and that fucker needs to be out the door.
All right, Dale, I'd like to hear what was said by the future ex-coach of the New Orleans Saints, but go ahead.
Yeah, he was saying that was coming off of a play with Mark Ingram, like hurt his knee. And so they didn't want to just run the ball again because of that. So they designed another play. I mean, you can say what you want to about that call. It's a big receiver against a big corner. That's what it is, and trying to get the ball out quick. And, of course, that didn't work. But hindsight is always 20/20. And
I got a microcosm for you guys. Here's a couple of points that should tell you the whole story about the offense. First drive of the game, 3 and out. Last drive of the game, 3 and out. First third down of the game, they keep Kamara in to pick up a blitz, not run a route. 3rd and 1, not one single time in that game did we run Taysom Power. It's the cheat code that no one has been able to stop on 3rd and 1. They've converted all but one Taysom Power runs on 3rd and 1 over the last two seasons. One out of, I think, 40. But we don't run it anymore. Even his designed runs now are draws. We don't run a play that was so effective in our playbook for literally years. We just stopped running it.
And so I'm going to add to that to support Craig's idea. So I get it. Hindsight is 20/20. But now you go on again. You got it was Callaway that he throws the ball to right off the bat. And I know you guys are better, bigger fans of Callaway than I am. Right off the bat, I mean, the guy has not shown that he is a consistent playmaker. So he has to win that route. Then you got to hope that it doesn't get defended. Then you got to hope that it doesn't get popped up in the air and become a turnover. So at the end of the day, and if it is incomplete, it stops the clock. To me, there was no other option. And when you have what Craig just talked about, the fact that you don't run that play when you're saying, okay, the alternative is to go to Callaway on third and one, or play that works, you know, I don't know the official stat. Craig said 40. I'm going to go with that. So you 39-1 with that on third and one. I'm running that play. And if they stop it, you can say, hey, man, they just beat us. But you keep the clock running. And again, that's just another thing. As fans, we could sit here and say this stuff. But at the end of the day, top-level head coaches like Sean Payton have criticized the Chargers just a couple of weeks ago. And you think that this game is more complicated than it really is. You say, okay, it takes this many seconds to run a play. If I do this, they have this many timeouts. They have a two-minute warning. It's not really much more complicated than that. And Allen chose to do all the things that would just not work in our favor. If you threw it to Olave, I have a little bit more. But Olave's not really a slant guy. So who else is there? So there was no real – who's the guy that you say, don't think plays, think player? Who's the player that you go to on a slant?
I mean, for me, I'm probably going to end up doing Troutman because he's a bigger body. But because Juwan Johnson wasn't there. I mean, that would be my guy, Juwan Johnson. Right.
Well, it's funny you guys say that because what I would have done would have been to run the goddamn football.
Yeah, and that's where I'm going with this, Dale, is that like my point is it'd be like if you have Michael Thomas, you say, man, you know, I feel better. A lot of bad things can happen with the pass, but it's Michael Thomas. Chances are he's going to win. Even if he doesn't win, he'll make a contested catch. This is Callaway you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I get that you say, well, maybe we go with Troutman. Okay, I get it. Maybe a better option. But still, are we going to Troutman in that crucial situation? So the only thing, what has been effective and works is that play with Taysom Hill. And I don't know, man. I don't like being the person that double or second guess every coaching decision and calls. Every one of them, when they were done, I was like, why would you do that? Like, because it didn't just negatively affect you one way. It negatively affected you multiple ways. They made the decision that it didn't get the first down, and it stopped the clock. We only burned 35 seconds on that entire drive. That's just, you can't do it. I don't care what the fans say. Oh, you need bigger balls. You got to go for it. You got to show them that you're ready to stomp on their neck. No, you got to do the right thing and the smart thing. And none of that was that.
I mean, the anemic offense has been the problem. We don't put up enough points.
About the offense. And Craig pointed out, three and out the first drive, three and out the – this offense is good enough to occasionally do something that's positive. There's enough players, offensive line. It's not a team that goes out and says, hey, we need it, like a Drew Brees offense in the past where you're like, we're going to take this. At any moment, they can turn the ball over. At any moment, they can go three and out. Like, it just – and at any moment, oh, wow, they just hit Olave for a long pass for a touchdown. Yay, but it's never going to be consistent with – at quarterback and in that particular situation. So, I mean, what can we really expect? But I can expect them to play smarter, play more efficiently, play without penalties.
Definitely play without penalties. That's ridiculous. But I did notice snap counts have been different. Just looking at the snap counts for Kamara, this has been his lowest snap counts so far the season. He got 59% of the snap counts, Mark Ingram with 42%. And just looking at the previous week, I mean, Kamara had 67%. He's steadily going down. He's going down from 67, 70, 79. Every week is going down for him because he has not been effective. He's not doing anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, Carmichael knows that he's on your fantasy team. So once Carmichael found out that little tidbit, he's just going to shut him down. Here, the thing I don't get is who are your two most dynamic playmakers on offense? It's Alvin Kamara and it's Taysom Hill, right? Mm-hmm. Kamara's snaps are diminishing week to week. He's not getting the same work in the passing game. Taysom Hill threw one pass, rushed three times, and had two catches. You're just not getting the ball to your playmakers. You're trying to force the ball to Troutman, and you're giving Olave a shot. And I understand Olave's a great player, but he's in the ball from Andy Dalton, who is a limited skill set. It's there. You're not utilizing the players around you. And I don't want to just bang on Pete Carmichael. You need to fire Pete Carmichael.
But I still think about earlier in the game where Jarvis Landry drops this touchdown.
Oh, God. Perfect throw.
Be brutal. Like, when we have these opportunities, man, we have to take advantage of it. We have to score. Like, that was a clear six, and we missed that. So,
six, three with the lobby. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, and back to what I was saying about the offense being, you just can't count on them to say, hey, we need this. Let's go get it. It's like having a decent basketball player. You know, like, yeah, he'll pull up and hit a three during the game. I'm talking about a pickup game, right? We go out and play, and it's like, this guy's all right, you know, and he'll hit a three, and maybe he'll hit two in one game. But are you really going to throw him the ball late in the game when you need one bucket to win it or whatever? No, and that's what the Saints' offense is. You can't count on them. You just, every once in a while, they'll do some good things. It's inconsistent. And when you add to that, that when you do get the blocking right, you do get the quarterback to make a good throw, and you bounce it off a guy's head that would have put you in field goal range, or just dribble it off a guy's fingertips. I mean, we brought Landry in because he's supposed to make those plays.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. It was a very catchable ball. It wasn't thrown on a rope. And I feel like this, I will admit, feels like just banging on him. It feels like he just tried to catch it with one hand and should have tried to catch it with two.
Yes.
And that might be ultra critical. But at the end of the day, we brought you in to make those catches. And that's a failure, man. I mean,
I'm with you, Dave. I felt like he was trying to make an OBJ kind of play. He wanted that highlight. And that's why he used the one hand, and it didn't happen.
That's why LSU now, players suck.
I mean, jabs everywhere, man. You got to keep the ball up, baby.
I can't defend that right now. I can't defend it. So
the other one on the other side of the ball was Tyrann Mathieu. Let me see how that went.
Yeah, let's go to defense. And I thought the defense played okay. Like, overall, I thought they were fine. I thought they were fine. I thought they played well enough to win. I thought the offense did not help them out enough. And, you know, I got to give them credit.
Hold on. Shut up. They gave up two touchdowns in 3.5 minutes. Don't tell me the defense did enough to win. You can't just completely fall apart and fold and look like the Atlanta Falcons for a half a quarter and give up two immediate touchdowns and tell me they did enough. They didn't. No one did enough to win this game.
17 points. That's all they scored.
14 in 3.5 minutes. Shut up, Dale.
They scored 17 points for the game. That's all I know.
You and Dennis Allen.
We can't score 20 points. We can't score 20 points.
How many points are they going to score? If they played defense like they did in the fourth quarter, they wouldn't have just scored 17. They would have scored 50. All right. You can't just fall apart completely and be like, oh, well, I was pretty good for the first three quarters. It's fun. You know, I was pretty good in the first half. Shut up. 60-minute game.
So
yeah, you're right. 60-minute game. You're right.
So here I'm going to add to, but I'm going to correct myself. I'm going to add to the poor coaching decisions. So again, you might say, well, yeah, when it works, it's great. And when it don't work, you criticize them. But you get a Debo matched up with Evans on a deep ball. Why do you think that is? That's because they didn't have any safety help back. So you say, in that time of the game, in that part of the game, there's no way you should be leaving guys one-on-one with their best receiver in that situation. And then you stop and think about the next drive. Why do you think that they ate us up with little, everything was a 5-yard pass, 3-yard pass, 7? Because they went to a shell look so they don't get beat over the top again. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things where I'm not defending anybody, but I'm going to withhold what initially would have been a huge criticism, because when you did what, you know, stop those short passes, well, give up a big play over the top. To me, the biggest factor in those last two drives was that the defensive line just looked gassed. Like before, we got pretty decent pressure, and they looked tired, and especially that last drive, they weren't getting any penetration.
Do we have any missing posters up for Davenport? Do we have? Can we figure out why we're paying Onyemata? Can we figure out how we can get another defensive tackle? The interior of that line was non-existent most of the game, which is worse towards the end. And we couldn't get anything off the edge late when it mattered, when it counted. Cam Jordan is not the guy he used to be, and he can't do it alone. He's got no help.
Yeah, let's talk about the defensive line, and this is a perfect time for Dave and his Davin report.
Good, thank you. Listen, y'all know that I'm a big fan of Davenport. Those new listeners who don't understand, I just like how physical he is. He is not the same player that I fell in love with a couple of years ago when everybody teased him for being too first and this and that. He was developing. He would go in there. He got bigger. He got stronger. And he would just go and maul people. And I just loved it, man. Yeah. He's not doing that this year. He's not doing anything. I literally, during the game, I said, well, I didn't hear that Davenport was inactive. I knew he had that calf a while back. But I would have heard if he was inactive. And I didn't see him until late in the game. I was like, oh, there he is. He is pass rush.
There he is.
Completely ineffective. So I guess that he is either injured as he has been in the past, but not so injured where he can't play because what's going on here makes no sense. I don't even like the other guys who back up Davenport, and they were making plays, you know. And then you look at the offensive line of Tampa Bay. Our backups or, you know, B-level starters should be taking advantage of that offensive line, and we just
We can't. Davenport had two tackles and two quarterback hits. And looking at the snap counts, he only played 46% of the snaps. And just compare it to Granderson, he played 49% of the snaps. So the guy on the defensive line that played the most snaps was Cam Jordan, who played 70% of the snaps. Like, that in itself is, it leads me to believe that what you think is right, Dave, that he's got to be hurt. I've never seen Davenport's snap numbers go down so much as you compare it to Cam Jordan's and Granderson.
And I don't want to use that as a defense. I'm simply saying that he's literally, like, usually he's the guy that gets close to the sack but doesn't. He'll push his guy into the quarterback. And you're getting nothing. Like, there's nothing. He's not getting penetration. It's nothing. How's that possible? And the only thing I can think of is he either just decided, hey, I just don't want to quit, but I really did quit playing football, or he's hurt. I don't know, because what he's doing, you know, it's
he ain't right. Awful. He ain't right, for sure.
Well, I think there's probably some really good moving companies that can help pack his bags, because he ain't going to be here next year.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Craig. I don't know how somebody's going to pay him. I keep hearing that, but I'm like, how can you watch this film and say, yeah, I see the potential? Last year, I would make the argument, I'll argue to death last year, that you'll pay for that potential, because sooner or later it's going to come together or something. But the potential's not there on film this year. Who's going to pay the guy? It'll be interesting.
A positive.
There's some Jimmy John's available here in Baton Rouge. So if he knows how to make a sandwich, I know someone will pay him.
Fair enough.
A positive on the defense is we actually got two turnovers. We actually got turnovers this game, and we still didn't win.
So that fumble DeMario was basically Davis. A punt, but that interception was nice.
Yeah, DeMario Davis intercepted Brady, and we got a fumble recovery from Carl Granderson. We got one sack, split between Shy Tuttle and Tano Passanio. What?
Even that one fumble recovery, man, they kicked the ball about 30 yards in Tampa Bay's favor. I'm like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's basically a punt.
Okay. The other big thing for me, Marcus made 11 tackles, especially early on. He made some tackles. I thought that saved the drive. Like, a couple times they could have scored, but he put the guy on the ground. So hats off to Marcus May.
Yeah, he played well when it didn't matter in the beginning, and then played terribly when it mattered at the end. Just like everyone else on defense.
Yeah, yeah. So overall, man, I think we really lost this game late. Very, very bad. If we just get some offensive production, just sustain first downs, and we can win. And we couldn't, so we didn't. So I think that wraps up that game in a nutshell.
Wraps up our season in a nutshell.
Yeah. Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun, so go over to their Facebook group and check them out, Sports Talk with Friends.
We have finally reached the shining light at the end of the tunnel, guys. It's okay. Everyone, it's all right. It's finally over. The hope has finally been suffocated. It was drowned in a puddle outside of Raymond James Stadium. Can finally just breathe and think, it wasn't our year. We got a bad coach. We got a bad quarterback. We got bad health issues. It's okay. We're going to move on. We're going to have good seasons again. Just won't be this year. Probably won't be next year. But the sun will shine again on the Houdat Nation. Tomorrow. And now we can just watch football for football. And remember, guys, it's the Christmas season. Hug your family. See, call your mom, you know, find a nice gift for a friend you ain't seen in a long time, because there's more to life than football. Don't do what I wanted to do at 2 a.m. and jump off a bridge after watching that damn football game. You know, find your loved ones and tell them you care. They want to know.
Yes.
I knew Craig would find the silver lining in all of this. I mean, when I listen to him, my heart just explodes with joy and
Merry fucking Christmas, Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
BS and Beer Media is sponsored by Purple Valley Farms Marijuana. We got that good. Good.
Pigskin Pick'em. Let's go and look at our standings. We have Rob 22278 leading the way. He is just about dancing in the end zone right now. I mean, he is like way away from everybody now. So,
yeah, he's not allowed to play next year.
I dropped to fourth, followed by Dave at fifth, and Craig no longer in the top 10. Well, let's pick some games. We've got two games this week to pick because we have some bye weeks. Thank the Lord we have bye weeks. I am thankful for bye weeks. I'm telling you. Tampa Bay going to San Francisco, and San Francisco is a 3.5-point favorite. Craig, who you got?
Pass. No, but the Bucks
are not an
option. It's they have Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback for the Niners. Quarterback's out. Their rookie's out. The Buccaneers are just going to get dragged into the playoffs like we've seen the last few weeks. So, yeah, Bucks, I don't care. Whatever. Who cares?
All right. Dave?
Who's playing again?
Bucks at Niners. San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, after careful consideration, I don't care.
There it is.
So I already had everybody lose everything they had when I saw, what game was it where the point spread, the Saints and
Rams.
Yeah,
and everyone bet Rams, and then we won.
Nobody's listening to what I got to say anyway, man. So
I can burn your house down looking for you.
but come back to me for the next pick. Hopefully I'll have something better to say.
I'm going to pick Tampa Bay plus the 3.5. Let's go with Carolina at Seattle. Seattle, 3.5-point favorite. Dave, who you got with this?
Who's playing again?
Carolina. That's it, Dave. Yeah.
We're a bunch of professionals here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care. I'll be working on my building. And, I might have that on casually in the background on Red Zone. Pretty much my football season is over. as much as I said I don't care, I realized last night I cared more than I thought I cared.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna need some. I need some time to heal. I need some time to for my heart to find happiness again and come from the darkness to the light. Mm-hmm. Oh God, what happened to me? I'm now Craig. I'm darkness to the light. I like that.
Pretty. That's poetic. You're painting a picture with your words, Dave. I like it.
Okay. Or you gloom and doom people here.
What's the spread on this game? As you know, I deeply value the spread, and I think it's the best way to pick games.
If there's one thing I would say about that is that you value the spread more than most.
I value the spread more than anybody I know. And good God, I love me some fantasy football. Those are my two defining characteristics. I'll go with the Panthers on this one. I think the only way to the best way to beat Seattle is to punch them in the mouth. And that's kind of all Carolina still has is they can run the ball a little bit. So yeah, sure, whatever. Carolina, I don't care. Whatever. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what the spread was. I don't care.
All right, I'm going to pick Seattle minus the 3.5 to win this game, and that will conclude our pick'em for this week.
Yay.
We have a bye week coming up. There is no game preview. The Saints will not hurt us this week. Okay.
Man, I got to tell you guys, I had this conversation with a couple people. My Sunday was glorious. I woke up, I played mm-hmm. with my kids. I went to the store. I got a little workout in, you know, I cooked a nice dinner. You know, it was just a glorious day. It was beautiful. I was so happy. I was just so full of life. And I realized about 7 p.m., it's because the Saints didn't play to ruin my Sunday. And I was having a wonderful day because they hadn't hurt me yet. Now I have another Sunday like that coming and I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's no LSU to fix it all because they lost their last two games.
We ain't going to talk about that right now.
It's brutal right now.
Ain't going to talk about it. You want to bring up more pain right now? Is that what we didn't have enough pain last night. You want to talk about getting smoked in a game that we probably shouldn't have been in the first place. Come on, man. We got to do this to ourselves.
It's part of my therapy there, Craig. You know, that's what I do.
I ain't damn therapist. Save that for Dave when I get off of here.
Craig, any final thoughts?
Man, I have some final thoughts for you right now. Here's a final thought. Saints did not fail to convert a fourth down at any point yesterday. We didn't attempt any. It's all coaching. It's all cowardice. It's all a bunch of limp-wristed little girls wearing dresses pretending to be men. Dennis Allen cannot be the coach of this football team next year. He will lose the fan base. This is a small market for a team that is bad for a really long time, and we finally got good, and then we were a bunch of 7-9 seasons in the doldrums. We got good again. This is a fan base hanging on by a thread. If you roll out Dennis Allen and Andy Dalton next season, then we ain't selling that dome out again. It's going to be another one of those seasons where opposing crowds are going to be showing up. You're going to have Falcons fans in the rafters. You are going to lose this fan base if you give them a product like that again.
I watched I listened to the coach's show on WWL, and so it's a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I saw the title of it was something, I'm paraphrasing, it takes time to build a winning culture. And I almost wrecked my car when I saw that. So are you trying to tell me and sell the fan base that we need time to build a winning culture? Is that what you're telling me? You're not telling me that Dennis Allen took over a team with a winning culture from a winning program who's a winning program for the last 16 years? Not that every season was winning, but we have a winning culture that was taken and destroyed. And now what we're looking at is guys that, I mean, the way we're looking at Alvin Kamara now, where it used to be like, you know, an idol. Now we're like, man, this guy and what you need to win. And it does kind of show you that when you start turning on players, this guy's not what you need to win. This guy, or you want to get a guy from another team that underperformed, that depending on coaching, man, there could be some reality to it. Because if we take Kamara and trade him to somebody else or cut him per se, just not literally, but he's going to go somewhere else and be successful. Mm-hmm. And he's not successful here because of the culture that is now here, which basically is disagreeing with you, Craig. We've ruined something that's good. I don't think it's over. I don't think that another coach say, well, I'm not going there. Those guys don't know how to win. I think they know, hey, if you come here and you do it right, that all the support you need is here. Players know that if other things are right, the situation's right, you can win here. So I don't think the culture's destroyed, but I do think that I don't know if I can go through another season like this and be like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll be fine. Let's just throw away another season, and after that, we'll start building it back. So I don't know. We'll have to see, but we'll have plenty of time this offseason to talk about it. We still got a couple of games. I don't know what we're going to see. Usually, these are the games where you start wanting to see some of the young guys and see if they can, you know, remember those days when we used to lose and at the end of the season, just basically trying to see what the young guys had. Well, I don't know who's young. Everybody's already on the field, man. All the young guys are playing. Maybe Trevor Penning gets out there and gets some snaps, and that'd be exciting to see. Although
what I want to see is I want Penning to get a start. And I want Jameis Winston to take some reps. Even if he's not the better player right now, he's got a better potential for next year than Dalton does. So, yeah, let's see Dalton back on the bench. Let's get Jameis out there. Let's get the rookies some snaps. So let's have fun with it.
I would agree with that. Well, okay. So, okay. I was about to agree but disagree and say that I don't think
the coaching staff
has any confidence in Jameis Winston. But then I think to myself, will that coaching staff be here? So maybe – you need to play him so that the new coaching staff can see what the guy has, because who knows what's going to turn out. So anyway, I think that's just about all the show that we have for you this week. So thanks to Dell Mims, to Craig Wright. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast. And we will talk to you, and we'll probably do off week show. So we'll talk to you next week.
Happy holidays, everybody. Yeah.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs and beer@icloud.com.